Connecticut Democrats say they're close to a deal with the governor on a bill that would legalize the adult use of recreational pot. House Democratic Majority Leader Jason Rojas says only a few issues remain to be hammered out in the final draft.
We have some individual members within our caucus that we'd like to consult on those higher issues, but finalize them and get ready to move forward and, you know, begin presenting it to the respective caucuses, doing a vote count, and hopefully beginning at least one chamber in the Senate, we expect, acting on it sometime next week.
Lawmakers have only 2 weeks left before the end of their regular legislative session on June 9th. You're listening to C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Coming up, a rally to preserve Shinnecock Indian lands, Travel Plaza workers in Connecticut plan to strike, and a New England ICE facility has been ordered to close. I'm Sabrina Garone. Members of the Shinnecock Indian Nation rallied outside Southampton Town Hall in eastern Long Island last night to urge the town to approve a deal to preserve sacred tribal land. WSHU's J.D. Allen reports the town is poised to make a decision in June.
The Shinnecock people have sought for decades to protect an area of the Shinnecock Hills neighborhood of the Hamptons. It's known as Sugarloaf Hill to the tribe, an ancient burial ground for their people. At the rally, the Unkachug tribe joined the Shinnecock in a song of healing. Tribal trustee Kelly Dennis says the land preservation means their ancestors can be at peace.
We're at this moment where there's no turning back, and we have the support needed to go forward with protecting the site and taking down a mansion. I mean, how significant is that?
Under the agreement, the Peconic Land Trust will purchase the land from the town for preservation and raise some development back to nature. The tribe says the group would protect the land until it's returned to their stewardship. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
McDonald's workers go on strike tomorrow at travel plazas along Interstate 95 in Connecticut. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
The union that represents the workers says they faced anti-union intimidation from McDonald's and two franchisees who operate locations in Connecticut travel plazas. Rochelle Palacci is with SEIU 32BJ in Connecticut.
As typical, McDonald's corporate is a no-union buster. The franchise owners have kind of adopted the same philosophy, same policy, abusing workers, cutting their hours, firing some for union activity. We want to say to McDonald's, these workers deserve the right to form a union.
Travel plazas are owned by the state and franchisees are state contractors. So the union says they'll rally outside the state capitol in Hartford, asking Governor Ned Lamont to step in. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
An ICE detention center has been ordered to close months after ICE was sued by a Yale Law School clinic. More on that coming up at First Headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
All Connecticut residents and New Yorkers 12 and up are eligible for the vaccine. Residents can receive their first dose without an appointment at most state-run sites, though appointments could still be needed for second doses. In Connecticut, they can be scheduled online at ct.gov/COVID-vaccine or by phone at 877-918-2224. New Yorkers can set up a second dose appointment online with the Am I Eligible app or by phone at 833-697-4829. New York has revised its new recommendations that require children as young as 2 years old to wear masks in childcare settings. Last week, the state had said children ages 2 to 5 had to wear masks. Parents, lawmakers, and childcare providers criticized the rules. They said it was too difficult to keep young children in masks for up to 11 hours a day. Officials will still encourage any childcare staff members who have not been vaccinated to do so as soon as possible. A recent report released by a New York fiscal watchdog group has recommended several ways the Metropolitan Transportation Authority can save almost $3 billion a year. The Citizens Budget Commission says the MTA could have significant savings if they replace ticket collectors on trains with station turnstiles. The proposal would cut the number of conductors in half, which has gotten pushback from the largest LIRR union. The report follows months of financial loss from low ridership and revenue on the MTA during the COVID-19 pandemic. Last week, the Biden administration ordered Immigration and Customs Enforcement to close a detention facility in Massachusetts, which has held many people from Connecticut. A Yale Law School clinic sued ICE in the early days of the pandemic. They alleged life-threatening conditions at the jail and risk of contracting COVID-19. Diane Orson reports that the case became a national model.
There have long been reports of inhumane conditions, overcrowding, and poor sanitation at the Bristol County House of Correction. When COVID hit, Yale Law School's Worker and Immigrant Rights Advocacy Clinic and Boston-based Lawyers for Civil Rights sued ICE on behalf of immigrants at the jail. U.S. District Court Judge William Young has just approved the settlement.
It was the first class action for immigration detainees and the only effort at that time to seek release of everybody.
Yale Law School professor Mike Wishney.
At that time, there were 148 people that were being held for ICE at Bristol County. It was the largest immigration detention facility in New England.
Given the urgent threat of COVID, Judge Young acted quickly. He established an interim process while the suit was pending to review each person's case one by one to decide whether someone could be safely released.
And he began ordering the release of tens of people, then scores of people, and it worked. Lawyers in other parts of the country began filing similar cases. The result was hundreds, I think thousands of people were released by judges who used the same approach that Judge Young had pioneered.
The number of detainees at the Bristol facility went down from 148 to 7, and those who will stay behind bars for security reasons are now being moved to other facilities. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Diane Orson.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare. As always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@wshu.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.